The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 10 or Roman numeral 15 and moving to the end of this tonight. And we will be back in Romans 8, God willing, Sunday morning. If I left off in Romans 9, I should have said 8, 9, and I left off there where I think I did. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have done a doctrine and went off in the middle of the analysis. So I think we got that straightened out. And we'll get some notes printed and have them for you Sunday. All right, you know the drill. Let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves spiritually, recognizing that one of the big occupational hazards is to be here and be out of fellowship. Keep yourself in fellowship. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, for sure we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We thank you that we have chosen the way of life through the Lord Jesus Christ and the abundant life through the intake of Bible doctrine and knowing the truth so that we can live as lights and be separate from the evil that is so pervasive at this current time in the cosmos. Thank you for this opportunity. We do not take these sessions for granted, considering the times in which we find ourselves. Bless our time together, in Jesus' name, amen. The leaders of the nations know the true nature of the earth is my contention. There is no way they cannot. They are in a position of high intelligence, and I don't mean smarts, I mean in knowing what is going on with regard to matters such as this. The fact that they're all in on it just goes to show how corrupt it is in the nations. You don't get up to those positions if you're not a player. You are stopped. It doesn't work. And there are certain things you do not take issue with, even if you're a conservative. A conservative in politics or whatever does not mean you're going to be free of this nonsense, this fake science stuff. They go along to get along. They stick with certain things that you don't go there. You don't question them. Your whole political career would blow up because they think you were a weirdo. So, my contention is that in the tribulation, when the nations are in such an uproar, how could they not be? You don't just shrug off the rapture. You don't just shrug off three major angelic announcements that everybody hears in their language. You don't shrug off what you have in Revelation 18, where an angel comes down and you reread the chapter and makes this announcement about the impending doom of the United States and picks up the base and the Statue of Liberty and chunks it into the deepest part of the Atlantic. You don't miss that. And then the dynamic of the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, reappearing on the scene. A lot of conservative interpreters realize that these two prophets aren't just contemporaries of their time. They are brought out from the past. The two good guys. And they are brought out from the past, set in the Middle East, like a John the Baptist, separate from the crowds, starting their message and coupling it with, there's a verse that says, as often as they will, they bring down environmental judgments here and there in the nations. Both prophets in time were miracle-working prophets. Moses, well, at the top. And then, of course, Elijah with his fire out of heaven trick and other things. Most prophets, they didn't do that. They just spoke. So you start factoring this all in. And what's in the brain, what's in the forefront of the thinking of the nations? These people are saying, this is the day of the Lord, the day of His wrath, and He is returning. And then, oh, did I leave out the Antichrist? You can't even begin to factor in the dynamic and the circumstances in which He makes His appearance and the impact He will have almost instantly. And it will be nonstop. With all that said, the nations are in an uproar. They can't run and hide somewhere and say this isn't happening. They're all caught up in it. Today, they can ignore Christianity and the truth and the signs right and left. But they won't be able to then. It will be in their face every waking moment. No let up. Explain this one away. The gospel will be proclaimed to all the nations. Worldwide evangelism to the last person. Get out of the United States. Do not take the mark of the beast. Those are your first get-go instructions for survival in the tribulation. So, under the leadership of the Antichrist and others, because we know at by the end, the negative nations and their armies will gather and come to Armageddon for a meeting with Jesus Christ. And demonism will be cranked. There will be all kinds of stuff going on. The dark side will be doing its tricks. Be given a big latitude of action. And the nations, as we saw, will be in an uproar. And the people's devising a vain thing. What's a vain thing? An empty thing. What is that? They're trying to keep it under control and push it down the path they want it to go down and offset all of this. And the kings of the earth take their stand. This is rulers around the earth. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, why would they even mention God? They don't talk about Him today to speak of. Some do here and there, but the Lord, that's the Father. His anointed is Christ. They are keyed into the fact that He's coming. And they're going to try to do something to prevent it and win the day. That's what they're going to try to do. Marshal their resources. They want it to be their world. And they're going to try to keep it. Let us tear their fetters apart. Fetters. Well, any restraints. We want to do what we want to do. We want to be the masters of our own destiny and do what we want to do. So that, and so they're and cast their cords from us. Sounds like, you know, we're gonna develop this new culture, a new world order, and a whole new thing's gonna come up out of this. I mean, they're doing it now in revolt against the divine institutions. You can't miss that one. So this will become clearer and clearer, especially in the tribulation. There will be speeches and people saying stuff and rallies and leaders and all this business going on. News media. And they won't be saying, oh, there is no Jesus. There is no heaven above. There is no second coming. They'll be saying there is. And we're going to fight it. Much like, you know, these silly movies. We're going to fight the alien invasion. They've been so popular with dummies. It's similar to that in that sense. He's coming. That's the worldwide message. Christ is coming back. And so, speaking against the Lord and His anointed means the Godhead, the Father and the Son, and the throne room, and all of that. Which brings me to the fact that, you know, obviously, the main leader and attention getter in all of this of the rulers of the earth is the man of sin, the Antichrist, who will be equipped mentally and physically, academically. He will have answers for everything. He's been dead since 33 or so BC, 333 BC, somewhere that number is fairly close. He's been dead since then. He's been out of circulation. But when he gets his new body, he will also get his brain computer loaded down. He will know history like the back of your hand. From ancient to medieval to modern, you can ask him about, well, who was so-and-so? He'll tell you. He knows where everything is. He knows how technology works. It's like he's just brought out and dropped into this. Think of all the changes that occurred since he was here. I mean, good grief. No U.S., no on and on and on and on and on. He'll have it all pegged. He'll be a virtual encyclopedia. And he will be a great orator, charging up and motivating his followers. He'll know the right people to pick for the right positions. He won't pick a lot of these losers that we have today. He's going to get the right people. The people that have a dynamic going for them. They aren't bogged down with all this mess. He'll appoint them. He'll know all his military maneuvers will just shine. He won't be bogged down in any kind of a conflict. The only problems he'll have is, well, occasionally he will send armies out to get those Jews that become believers and ran off into these special hiding places God has for them. In Edom, ancient territory of Petra, where God supernaturally puts a bubble over them and prevents them. And he'll send an army in after them, and the earth will open up and swallow up. So there'll be harbingers of, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter. They know the book of Revelation. Their arrogance is that they are going to offset this. They're going to overcome it. They're going to come out victorious. You can, you know, that's the thing. You can convince unbeliever, even believers, about almost anything. If they're open to it, they are easily deceived. I've seen it personally up front with regard to believers who never thought they were going to be taken in. And they got it. I'll never go there. I'll never do that. And they did it. It's arrogance. Don't say that. Just say, by God's grace, I'm going to stay the course and I'm going to stay right where I'm at. And I'm not deviating. The last man standing. I'm going to be the last one in my family standing. It's going to be me. I'm not going there. they were right at one time. Now they're, this is not right, and now they're there, and this and that. No, thank you. This is where I'm taking my stand. In the AC, the air conditioning, the angelic conflict. That's where I'm taking my stand. And I hope your heart is in it too. Because if it isn't, it's just a matter of time. Spotty attendance, distracted. I've seen it over. People that were just so staunch. Oh man, they were more positive than me. Yeah. And I was glad that they were staunch. But they cracked. And then they were too embarrassed to do anything about it. Just fix it up and get on track. We've got the stories in the Bible. What do you think they're there for? You pull a prodigal, you get back on track. Clean up your act, get back under Bible doctrine, and get your crown. Even when you were written off, maybe, you know. Now, that's the scene on earth, as presented in Psalm 2. A messianic psalm, dealing with the coming of the Lord. Then we shift the scene. While this is going on earth, God in heaven, in the figure of the Father and the Son, the mysterious figure of the Father, the human figure of the Father, where'd that come from? Anyway, he who sits in the heaven laughs. This is literally laughing. It isn't just metaphorical. He laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Scoffs. Damn fools. They don't have a chance. Don't they realize who they are? That I'm all powerful? And any one of them, I could speak in a minute and they'd fall over dead? I could take them all out at once and not even harm their bodies. But I choose to do it my way. I'm taking them down incrementally to the last one of them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. This is divine decree coming down. He's going to scare the living hell out of them. They are going to be afraid. They are going to be absolutely shaking. Even the most stout and hardened individuals, they are going to be afraid. They're going to experience extreme terror before they even die. The Father is the speaker in verse 6, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord, divine decree. He said to me, the Father said to the Son, upon what? His first ascension. The one that was before the one everyone knows about. Today I have begotten you. That's the resurrection of Christ. It was a Sunday. Late on a Sunday, Christ appeared in heaven with all the Old Testament saints that he went and got out of Sheol paradise. And they got to go on a real nice trip to the third heaven. And he comes in there with all these believers from the beginning all the way down the line that had died. And they all show up there. Suddenly. And the Father makes a pronouncement. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me. All you got to do is ask me. And I'll surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. It's a part of your inheritance package. You just ask and I'm going to give you all the nations. I'm giving you the world. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. That's the antagonistic members of the nations that are antagonistic. These people that are scoffing and carrying on and bragging and this is what we're going to do. We're going to shatter them in a series of judgments. That's what you're going to do. You're my agent. You go down there and get them. Knock them down. Smash them. Eliminate them. They are not worthy to live. They rejected all the evidence, all the facts, everything. And then there's an appeal to these people in Psalms of that time frame. You don't have to, if you're a high person in the echelons of government, you don't have to go down this path. You're a free moral agent. You can opt. I'm not going with them, the crowd. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence. The word worship is... Oh, no, not, that's correct. I got ahead of myself. 12. Do homage to the Son. First mention of the word Son. The word homage is the Hebrew verb to kiss. To kiss. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son that he not become angry. Kiss the Son means make the salvation adjustment. Honor him and recognize who he is. Get on the right side of things. And lest that he not become angry and you perish along the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. And that's the ultimate refuge. So all this to me indicates that based on the fact that they know the truth about the nature of the earth, all the while keeping the masses fooled. Why is the earth flat with its stylized ice wall featured on the United Nations? More proof that the muckety-mucks know. The rebellious spirit of the peoples at Babel is alive in the hearts of people. Satan is not content with spreading lies. He desires to overthrow God's throne. Isaiah 14:13. He knows right where it's at. And it isn't hidden out there. 250 million light years, take any stupid number. I will ascend to heaven. I'll raise my throne above the stars. Angels are not omnipresent. I'm sure some are faster than others. But they have to travel too. From point A to point B, God dispatches an angel. Takes a minute for the angel to get to point A to point B. The original poster for the European Union featured the famous painting of an unfinished Tower of Babel by the Flemish author Peter Bruegel, the Elder, 1563. With workmen with hammers suggesting a modern attempt, it reads... It's on our bulletin board. Europe, or Europa, many tongues, one voice. Through technology, we're seeking to overcome the language barrier. Even some devices you have, you can translate and hear things. Still there. Further, one of the buildings of the European Parliament in Strasbourg, France. You ought to go find it online. European Parliament Building in Strasbourg, France. That's the lesser of the two. The big one is in Brussels headquarters. Go to the Strasbourg one. Look at the architecture. The architecture. The Louis Wyss Building. That's another name for it. Includes one of the towers that appears to be unfinished, mimicking the famous painting of this Flemish artist. Why do they do that? That spirit is still alive. They got set back real good with the confusion of languages. They're back at it. You know what Paul calls it in Thessalonians? He calls it the mystery. That's something hidden from the general population and people unless they research it. It's called the mystery of lawlessness. This isn't general lawlessness out here. This is the secret attempt on the part of these elitists and individuals to bring in this world order that they talk about all the time, that's got this country in the mess it's in to a large extent. They work on this stuff, how to corrupt the youth in America, drugs, sex, and rock and roll back in the day. Population control. Oh, we're in a climate crisis. You ought to see all the ones they've been projecting since it got cranked, at least back in the 70s. And they make these big pronouncements, by this date, if we don't do something, we're going to be toast. It didn't happen. It did not happen. It didn't even come close. Scare tactics to restrict our freedoms. They got control of education, higher education. They got control of the media. They got control of the banking. They got control of the medical establishment. Top down. The rich finance these institutions with strings attached. Or they would have cures for all these big things just like that. And now, what do we got? Man-made plagues and scaring people into kill shots. And the media won't report it. But it's in their writings. But they don't care. These people are under control. They don't dare say anything about it. Occasionally, there are people that speak out, but they are ignored. I'm saying again that Alexander will be a flat earther all the way. He was in his lifetime. That was one of the things I learned in school. He was trying to find the edge of the earth. He wanted to take his army and just keep conquering until he ran to the edge. Well, he got bogged down in India. His soldiers revolted. We want to go back to Greece, to our families. We're tired. He pouted for 2 weeks and turned around and came back and died in Babylon. He's coming back. The most famous man of the ancient world, written about, and they're searching for his remains. God has everything timed out to get this all right. Some final scriptures worth applying in relationship to this doctrine. Proverbs 8:13. He who gives an answer before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. I've seen a lot of that. Just snap off something instead of think it through. Where are you coming from? Let me hear this. I care about you. And if you're all screwed up, I want to help you. Make your case. On any topic, doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. But examine everything. This is to you, royal fan. Examine everything. I encourage you to hold fast to that which is good. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We, believers, are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. These big isms, scientism, with this, all this fake science, there's good science and fake science, good politics, bad, on and on and on. Good finance, bad finance. There's corrupt and there's good. Russia's backing its ruble up with gold, I understand that. What do you know? Russia. They call the Western banking system, which is broke, and how many trillions are we in debt? Trillions. You can't even figure what 1 trillion is. That's why they've got to reset the financial system. We're broke. We're running on fumes. You can't just print money and expect it to be worth anything. It's paper. Now they want to do digital money. Make an entry with digital. It's not money. There's no intrinsic value in that. There isn't gold and silver. Well, Russia says the Western financial system is hooliganism.
They don't like that, do they? They don't like him reporting that the Western world is morally bankrupt. We don't do that. We don't sponsor these parades and this promotion of this stuff. We're about divine institution number 2 and 3. I never expected it with Russia. But they came out of that communist thing. Oh, he's not perfect. They're not perfect. The only way you get really right is know the Bible doctrine. But you can at least follow some establishment principles, which we are abandoning right and left. And we're raised up against the knowledge of God, like this cosmology that we were all raised on. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians 6:2, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Do I know that well? But against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Romans 3:4. May it never be. These scriptures are not in any particular, they just deal with different things. Meganoito, let God be true, and though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified, vindicated in your words, and prevail when you are judged. God will prevail. Truth will prevail. Be on the right side of it. Don't let anybody take you any other place. Your STA, family, friends, all the rest of it. Acts 17:10 through 12. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they went into the synagogue of the Jews, this is a little town, this is a village or town called Berea. They went there. Now, with regard to the Bereans in that synagogue, and that would mean they were Jews, because Paul always went to the Jews first and tried to evangelize in an area to a certain point in his ministry. He'd always give the Jews first crack at it. The Jew first, give them a crack at it. Now these were more noble-minded. Eugenies. We get our eugenics from this. Good genes. And so it comes to be open-minded, teachable. They were teachable. They didn't knee-jerk. Oh, no. Because it made the Jews look bad in history with regard to the rejection of their very Messiah, they wanted to hear this out. They wanted him to get in there and show them the scripture. Then those in Thessalonica who reacted, you know, knee-jerk reaction, where Paul had to go in there and bring him to an awareness of what the Messiah was when he would come and that he'd already had. And here's the details from your Bible, from your Old Testament. For they received the word with great eagerness. So this is the exception to the Jews in the synagogues, as far as I can tell, in the New Testament, in the apostolic era. They received the word with eagerness. Examining the scriptures daily. They looked these verses up where he was documenting that the Messiah would first come and suffer and be rejected. Let's see where those scriptures are. Once they got that nailed down, okay. And this was Jesus, the historical Jesus who is now at the right hand. And here you are being caught up and told that this is what happened. So they examining the scriptures to see whether these things were so. That's all we ask. Examine the Word of God. When I tell you something, you know, about this is what the Bible says about, fill in the blank. And here it is. Do not overturn it in your thinking. 1 Corinthians 1:19 through 20. Another thing we're waiting for. For as written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. And the cleverness of the clever, I'll set aside. He's going to blow this all up. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of the wise? He's going to expose it. And for you believers, Ephesians 4:14, as a result, we are no longer to be children. Children? Children are easily influenced. You can sell them on the tooth fairy. The Easter rabbit. A man with gray hair, rotund man in a red suit. You, all these things, you can influence children. Because they haven't had the experience and the ability to discern and see through things. Generally speaking. That's why they're children. They need protection by good parents. They need the protection. So they're not taken in. They do not have the experience and it comes from age and learning to be able to see through things. Why would a child believe there's a guy that can bring all you kids gifts in one night? We laugh at it, right? Well, the parents taught them that because it's fun. It's kind of a setback. So adults are like children. They're easily influenced by this, by what is the status quo and what some muckety mucks are saying and all the rest of it. And they have it. A lot of them don't. There are exceptions. They don't have the ability to be discerning. They're just sponges taken in. So they're children. And they are children who are tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men. That word is found one time in the Bible. By craftiness in deceitful scheming. That's behind the scenes. They did this stuff. They planned this out. They were in collusion. To sell these fake systems to people. Acts 20:20 and 27. And this applies to me when he's speaking in his final speech to the Ephesian pastor teacher corps. There in his farewell to them. He says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Oh, I'm not going to touch that topic. Oh. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. You know, the inconsequential. He's chosen you. Regardless of your background and upbringing and experience, he has chosen the foolish things. This is from the vantage point of the cosmos. To put to shame the wise. And he's chosen the weak things of the world. Believers without political, economic, or academic clout. He's chosen them. Because they're positive to the truth. He's chosen them. They accepted the gospel and then they go on. The weak things of the world, to put to shame the things which are strong. There is a point where these people are going to be exceedingly embarrassed. And then see the elevation of the righteous, the people from their generation, whom God raises up. Ephesians 5:11. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Don't engage yourself in this stuff. Associate with it or participate in it. But instead, expose them. Exposing evil. Bring it into the light. This is wrong. This is right. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.